Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Bible Curious Podcast. I'm your host, Amberly Lyons. And today I wanted to jump on and record like a part two of the episode on putting the kingdom first and being in God's kingdom. So I finished recording the episode, released it, and then I was driving to church and I had all of these things come through that were additions to how to put God first and how to chase God and not blessings. This could be the title, Chase God, Not Blessings. And then when I get to church, so I'm having all these things come through, I really wish I just recorded my thoughts as they were coming through as I was driving, because it was so powerful and so good, but I didn't. And whatever, it's still going to be good, don't worry. But as soon as I get to church, what is the entire sermon on? Exactly that topic. I was like, okay, now I know I'm definitely supposed to be sharing this. And then there was a song that they played that you may have heard before. I've also added it to my Spotify playlist called Thank You Jesus under the name Amberly Lyons. You can find it on Spotify. I actually love you guys are like adding songs to it. I have deleted a couple because when they came on, I'm like, eh. I kept like skipping over them. I'm like ones that are super slow, I might delete them. Sorry. It's not totally the mood for me. But actually this song is slow. So they played this song and I just fell in love with it. So I'll put the link for my Spotify playlist in the show notes, or just DM me on Instagram and I'll send it to you. And I love that you guys are adding to it. I didn't mean for you guys to be able to do that, but I actually kind of love it. But again, don't be offended if I delete your song. If there's something that I find that I'm like constantly deleting or skipping over, I'm just going to be like, eh. Don't be offended. Sorry. Okay. So the song they played at church that day, you may have heard it. It's called Nothing Else by Cody Carnes. I don't know. But I'm going to read the words. I'm not going to sing it. Y'all don't want to hear that. So it says, I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Okay, I'm going to pause there. That alone gives me the feels. If you are a woman of prayer and you have had that Holy Spirit feeling when you are in prayer or when you are in worship or when you are in praise, that is the feeling. And it might even be when you're out for a walk, but that is the feeling of what more could I possibly want? Like, what am I even asking for? Everything else is so trivial. All I want is to be in this feeling as often as possible. And that is God's presence. That is the Holy Spirit flooding through you. So the next part of the song says, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything. More than anything that you can do, I just want you. Oof. And here's the thing. And that's a lot about what we're talking about today, is that God is not your genie. It's not just about the blessings. It's not. It's not about us. It's so hard to deprogram. We're going to try a little bit today. We're going to try and expand our consciousness and our hearts just a little bit today to remember that. And then the next part of the song says, I'm sorry when I've just gone through the motions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough. Take me back to where we started. I open up my heart to you. Whew. The reminders that I need when I listen to this song, it is so, so good. And here's the thing. I hope you guys know that I'm never coming on here professing to know everything or professing to be an expert or professing to have it all figured out. I think you guys know that that's never been my vibe. I feel like this is like my audio journal as I go through this journey. I'm a baby Christian, you guys. I'm new here. So as I have revelation and as I recognize things, I'm going to come and share about them. It doesn't mean that I'm the expert because I don't have all the answers for this. I can just say that I have so much conviction around this, and this is something that I really need to work on. And so I know that by sharing that vulnerably, hopefully it is, you know, sparking something for you. And maybe this is something that you've already gotten really good at. And if it is, hey, send us DMs. We want to know how to do it. We want to know your tips. Okay, so seek God. Just seek Him. Be in His presence. Make it your intention and your desire every single moment of every single day to be in God's presence. He wants to be praised and worshiped. And that is, praise and worship is a tool for us to call on Him. It's like, I know I said God's not a genie, but you know how like rubbing a lamp brings the genie? Praise and worship and opening your heart and prayer, this is the thing that brings God forward. I mean, He's always there. He's literally just waiting for you to open up the door. And you're opening the door and you're putting your attention towards Him when you praise, when you worship, when you pray. And here's the thing. He's already given us the authority. He's already redeemed us from evil. Every single day, He gives us the armor of God. He's elevating love and consciousness on earth. What more can we really ask for? It just makes everything else seem so small. And what a beautiful way to relieve anxiety and stress from our own lives is to realize how small the things that we think are important actually are compared to what God has actually already done for us and is doing for us every single day. And these are the things that will never go away. These are the things that will always be there. You know, every other thing that we want in our lives can go away and will go away. But having God, having the Holy Spirit, having that presence, having that unconditional love is always there. And sometimes I catch myself wanting to do the right thing because I think it will give me a blessing from God. And this is essentially something that was wired into my brain from the whole manifestation concept in New Age of if you have high vibes, then you'll receive the manifestation. But I really had to change my focus from doing it for me, doing it so that I feel good, doing it for, you know, a manifestation or whatever, into this, like, we owe it to God. When you receive so much from someone, you want to serve them, you want to make them happy, you want to please them and be obedient to them. You don't want to be going and living your life in a different way than they want you to. If, like, think of like your relationship with your parents. If you have like a good relationship with your parents, like, it's like they've done everything for you. And then are you just going to do the opposite of how they want you to live? You know, I mean, I have, but you know what I mean? But I don't know. I'll admit, very hard for me to look at things in this way of wanting to do what's right for God, for the sake of the kingdom, for the sake of the entire purpose that we're here, which is to live God's will, to bring the kingdom down to earth. And we may not be alive when that happens. So again, it's not really for us. It's to do the work that we came here to do. And yeah, I still have a lot of pride, and it's hard for me to get super pumped up about doing something that doesn't benefit me at all. And this is why I think in the Bible, Jesus really helps people who can do nothing for him. And I think that is such a great practice for us and such a great method of expansion for our consciousness to get used to that. I get it wrong a lot of the time, but I know that when I do something for someone that is not self-serving in any way, someone who can do nothing for me, I think that's just what we're meant to be doing. And I'm not going to say it makes me feel so good and that's why we need to do it. Then that is self-serving. But it's like that is what we're supposed to be doing. And we can do it for strangers. We can do it for people we love. But being obedient to God, and that's the intention. Like, that is the practice. And again, the New Age really had us focusing on the manifesting, and it's going to be hard to unprogram. But again, anything that you're manifesting can be fleeting and changing, and there's just no constant other than God. I want to read Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. So I've told you guys my story many times. I had it all on paper, the success, the money, the Instagram following, all the things that I thought I wanted that were my goals and my manifestations, and they were on my vision board. And guess what? I got them. I had them. And they did not bring me peace. Maybe for a few minutes, you know, you get that dopamine high. And I want us to just get really used to the difference in those feelings of the flesh dopamine high and the godly peace, the peace from God. And the dopamine high lasts about 2 seconds and it leaves you wanting more. There is scripture. I'm going to find it. Okay, I don't know if this is exactly the one I was looking for, but this one is good too. So it's Galatians 5:16-26. Actually, this is 5:17-18. For the desires of the flesh are against the spirit, and the desires of the spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the spirit, you are not under the law. So flesh desires actually do nothing for you. Those little petite moments of pleasure that usually leave you feeling like shit afterwards. Oops, try not to curse. Feeling like poop afterwards. I hate that word. Feeling like, what is like a, I need like a, I'm going to need to make some like swear words because I'm really trying. I want to say I'm really trying, but I'm also like, it's so programmed right now. I need to stop. Anyways, enough on that. So flesh doesn't matter. The whole point is pleasing God, worshiping God, praising God. So just really be mindful of your prayers. When you're going into prayer, are you worshiping and praising, or are you going in with a to-do list or a shopping list, right? And you can pray to get clarity on this. You can pray to start being more, to start putting God first. So a concept that we talked about in church was the fact that we are God's worship team. So God wants us to worship and praise him and love him and to cover others with love and to tell people about him and live his will. But most of all, he wants us to love him and love other people. And sometimes I definitely focus more on the what can I do for God. But it's, you can't earn his love. But I sometimes think I get a pass. I'm like, well, I have a podcast and I talk about him and I tell other people about God. So I help so many people. So I don't like, you know, always have to be obedient. ugh, I'm so good that like, if I want to, I can, you know, be a little naughty sometimes and not listen. And obviously that's a subconscious thing. I don't consciously think that way, but I catch myself sometimes really focusing on the fact that I'm out here working for God and doing these things. And I focus on that more than the obedience. So Satan actually was God's worship leader. I don't know if you've heard that concept, but it's really interesting. Now that Satan has fallen, this was before humans were created. And then we now have taken that role of being the worship leaders. As we sing, as we praise, as we pray, those sounds are being lifted up to the heavens. And that is like what is like feeding and, you know, satisfying and giving God pleasure. I'm going to find some scripture on that. Okay, so in Revelations 8:4, it says, "And the smoke of the incense with the prayer of the saints rose before God from the hands of the angel. The smoke of the incense together with the prayers of God's people." Oh, this is two different translations. "The smoke of the incense together with the prayers of God's people went up before God from the angel's hands." So you picture like as we're praying, as we're singing, as we're worshiping, all of that is going up to God and he's receiving that. And that's what he wants. Like that's what we're here to do. Like we are. So I had this dream of this vision of it was like this, like it was like a tiered cake kind of. And it was showing me at the bottom with all these people. And then just a little above us was angels. And then above that was the throne of God. And I heard the angels talking to me in my dream saying, "You need to raise up higher so that you can raise him up higher." And what they were meaning is raise up my obedience, raise up my worship, raise up my voice, you know, actually using my lips and my words rather than sometimes I just pray in my head. Lifting up my posture, lifting up my hands. Like we need to raise up our prayer. We need to raise God up. And by doing that, we are elevating the entire kingdom. I always think of the movie Elf, and I know people are going to hate me for this.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
The movie Elf. How? The whole concept is people stop. Oh, no. Is it Elf or is it the Santa Claus? I feel like it's every Christmas movie. It's one of them. But like the Santa sleigh won't go in the air anymore because the Christmas cheer or the Christmas spirit isn't high enough on Earth because no one's believing in Santa anymore. And then once people start singing a Christmas carol, then the sleigh starts working. That is essentially the same thing. The more of us are down here worshiping and praying, and God doesn't need us to lift him up. He doesn't need us. But in order for the kingdom to come down to earth, it's like we need to rise up to the kingdom. Like that's what it is. We need to lift the God that's on earth, the Holy Spirit that's inside of us through our own worship and praise and faith and, you know, lift up to be elevated enough for the kingdom to be able to reach us. It's like I don't want to necessarily use the term frequencies because again, that's getting a little bit metaphysics, but just for sake of demonstration and being able to understand this, it's like the frequencies can't gel or mesh or combine if we're so dense down here and dark. Like how can we possibly combine with the almighty kingdom of God? Just like when we're in a dark place, it's harder for us to feel the presence of God, not because he's not there, but because of our density. And that's why when we sing and when we worship and we praise, it softens us, it loosens us up so that we can hear him, see him, feel him. So remember, if we don't do this, if we make things about us, it's dense. It's he can't come in. He is uninvited. Like we're uninviting him to the party by making it about us. So there's scripture in Isaiah 14, 12 to 15. And this is referred to as the five I wills of Satan. So it says, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weakens the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit." So when we are focusing on lifting ourselves up more than we're focused on lifting God up, then we actually are sinking down to the pit, sinking down to hell, becoming dense, making it impossible for our God to come into our lives. So think of, and again, I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty because I do this all the time. Look at me. I'm a friggin' influencer podcaster. You think there's not a part of me that likes the attention? Like, hello. But I need to remove that. Like, hi. Okay, I'm doing this. I'm really behind on putting these videos on YouTube, by the way. And I knew that I wanted to record this. I'm recording it late. This is why I'm releasing it late. I almost always like record the video with intention of putting on YouTube. So I usually get ready, makeup, hair, blah, blah, blah. Not like over the top, but today I kept delaying. It's already late. This episode's already, you know, like a day late, but I kept being like, you know what? I'm going to push it another day. So I actually like do my hair. I'm like, get ready, tidy up my office, et cetera, before I film. And then I'm like, it's not about me. It's not about me. And so I had to sit and in prayer, I did some decrees and declarations and like slayed some demons. And then I was like, God, do I just do this podcast now? And he's like, yeah, just do it now. And I'm like, okay, I won't do video. And he's like, just do the video. Like, who cares? So I'm doing the video because it's not about me and how I look. Am I going to release it? Maybe not. There's also like boxes everywhere because I'm moving. But yeah, like I just want us to all really reflect on our relationship with God, our will from God. If that's something you're working on, is stepping out, talking about God. Maybe it's business related. Maybe you're talking about it publicly. Maybe you're even just talking about it in your community, at work, friends, family, whatever. Whatever you feel your will is for God and your job is. How are you making it about you? And this is not going to be stripped away in one foul swoop. I know for me it hasn't. Maybe for you it will. I hope, I pray for you. I hope it's easier for you than it is for me. But I've told you guys, I'm like in this process of disappearing for 2 months, maybe three, and really getting aligned with how I want to be God's employee and what that's going to look like. And my biggest struggle is how to make it fully about him and not me. That being said, I feel like I have a gift of leadership. I think I have a gift. This is going to sound super vain, but the way I look, the way I communicate, the way I, you know, I love fashion and people look up to me for that. I feel like these are tools that I can use to connect with people who are either not followers yet of God, of Jesus, or who are, and just connect with me on that other level. And like, can I use these tools to draw people in? And then I'd like show them what they want, like here's my outfit, but then give them what they need and be like, and here's my prayer for the day. Here's some scripture while I'm at it. So I'm in this interesting dilemma of, I don't know, at the end of the day, we're still in the world. So I want to have this like influencer presence of showing my outfits and my makeup and all these things, but making it like, obviously it's about my life. These are things I do. This is what my life of faith looks like. Someone who is in this transition, I don't know, like I've transitioned out of the new age for the most part, but anyways, someone on this journey, this faith walk, you know, 1.5 to 2 years in, this is what my life is looking like. And, you know, just showing all parts of it. Like, this is what I'm eating. This is my hair. This is my makeup. This is my outfit. This is the scripture I'm using. These are the prayers I'm doing. This is what my daily conversation with God looks like. This is what I do, how I talk to God the second I wake up. Like, and intertwining all of that into this kind of influencer situation and essentially like infiltrating the influencer space on Instagram and infusing God into it. Because right now there's not really room for that. It's like, can I work my page up so much that I'm invited to New York Fashion Week and hanging out with these influencers, and then they have like these big followings, and then their followers are like, hey, who's this girl that they're with? And then they look at my page and they're like, oh, she's posting scripture. Interesting. Maybe that's cool. Maybe I should look at that. You know, it's like, how can I get in front of more people who maybe aren't followers of Jesus? How can I leverage the gifts that I have? But how do I do that without being vain? Like, how do I make it all about God? Because I already catch myself being like, okay, this is what it's going to look like. This is what I'm going to wear. But it's like, if that ultimately is a tool for God, then is it okay? This is my dilemma of life right now. So maybe you have something similar. Maybe you're like, I don't relate to this at all. But think of in your life, are there ways that you are making your relationship with God more about you and your blessings and what your life is going to look like and what He can do for you than what you can do for Him? And what He really wants is obedience, for you to love Him, for you to praise and worship Him, for you to love and worship and praise and help and serve other people and bring other people to Him. But most importantly, love Him and love others. And it's just a bit of an entanglement for me. So something interesting, the book of Revelations, there is this concept of, so the writer sees this vision and he sees seven stars and seven lampstands. And so they say that the seven stars are these seven angels and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So each church has its own angel, essentially. And I've done a lot of research on this. I'm like, what are the stars representing? What are the lampstands representing? And this is just one theory from theologians. There's a bunch of different theories, but I thought this was super interesting in that the seven churches were not just like the seven churches. It was actually different time periods. So the last time period, I'm going to say this wrong. I'm going to totally butcher this. Laodicea. So it's like Laodicea. I probably should have looked up how to pronounce that. So Laodicea, I'm going to say it in Italian, Laodicea was an ancient city that symbolically represents a spiritually complacent church in the book of Revelations. So the name itself means the people ruling or the judgment of the people. So that means that we are living in a time where we are self-reliant. We are not relying on God. We think that we are self-sufficient. So this is aligned with the 1900s, or no, yeah, like, yeah, 1900s till now. And this is the end. We're in the end times. Like, we are in the end. There are signs everywhere. So it says that the roles and characteristics of this time period are things like lukewarmness. You know, even if you are a believer, you're not all in. Materialism, self-deception. We are being called to repent, and we are essentially, I don't know, just like not it. We are not relying on God enough. We're not leaning into God enough. We are just lukewarm. We're trying to be half in the world and half with God. And this is my fear. This is what I'm talking about. My whole platform is like, I feel like I'm like toggling between the world and God. But maybe it's not. Maybe I'm looking at it wrong. Tell me it's okay. And this is like anyone who is putting their desires and blessings and manifestations above their relationship with God is falling into this trap. And I'm not saying everyone in this time frame is like this, but this is kind of the overall situation going on. And all of the seven churches kind of have their own issues. I think there were like two of them that God's like, no, these ones are good. But they all kind of have their own issue. And this is just the main issue of this world. And there are other examples of that. There's other scripture that speaks to that. So in 2 Timothy 3, it's called the dangers of the last days. So it says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days, there will be very difficult times, for people will love only themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents and ungrateful. They will consider nothing sacred. They will be unloving and unforgiving. They will slander others and have no self-control. They will be cruel and hate what is good. They will betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride and love pleasure rather than God. They will act religious, but they will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from the people like that. They are the kind who work their way into people's homes and win the confidence of vulnerable women who are burdened with the guilt of sin and controlled by various desires. Such women are forever following new teachings, but they are never able to understand the truth. You guys, that is New Age. I've never read this translation. I've been thinking about this so much. So and then it says, these teachers oppose the truth just as Jains and Jambras opposed Moses. They have depraved minds and have counterfeit faith, but they won't get away with this for long. But someday everyone will recognize what fools they are, just as with Jains and Jambras. I don't know what that is. So you guys, I had to read that part again. They are their kind who work their way into people's homes and win the confidence of vulnerable women who are burdened with the guilt of sin and controlled by various desires. Such women are forever following new teachings, but they are never able to understand the truth. Yikes, you guys. That is crazy. That is literally New Age. That is crazy. That is the New Age. It is. Taking advantage of these women who are always seeking something new, having some kind of new healing modality every week. And listen, I was one of those people. I've repented. Everything it said there is literally what's happening now. Now more than ever, do we need to call to repent and have like this spiritual revival and this authentic faith and an intimacy with Christ? That's the opposite of all of this. Like if we look at, so we talked about lukewarmness. So go all in with your relationship with God. Materialism, put God first. Self-deception, you know, thinking that you don't need God's help. Like that is self-deception. Self-deception is thinking that all these other things are going to help you. All these other New Age practices or whatever is going to help you, but it's not. You're deceiving yourself. You're being deceived. I'm not trying to make anyone feel guilty, but listen, if I've decided to believe what's in the Bible, I'm going to believe everything that's in the Bible. I'm not going to cherry pick and choose what makes me feel warm and fuzzy. That doesn't work. New Age lets you do that. This life, not this game, honey, not in these streets. So it's when it's fully telling you what to do, how to repent, how to not be involved in these other healing modalities, I'm going to listen. Revelations is scary. Like a lot of the Bible is scary, saying if you do these things, you will go to hell. It is black and white. If I'm choosing to believe in God, if I'm choosing to believe in Jesus, if I'm choosing to believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, that he left us with the gift of the Holy Spirit, I have to believe the rest of it. And I'm going to believe that I'm not going to touch these other things. And it's not worth it. I don't need astrology. I don't need numerology. I don't need those things anymore. So why play with fire? That is, in my opinion, people being deceived and thinking, oh, it's not that bad. So think for yourself. What are the things in your life where you're like, oh, it's not that bad? I think God deals in absolutes. Jesus deals in absolute yeses and nos. The devil plays in, you could do a little. What about just a little bit? What about just once? And before you know it, you've dug yourself into a pit. I'm not playing with that fire. I'm not giving them the footholds. I mean, I'm trying not to. I am in a lot of ways, but in the New Age, I'm not. So there's other things in my life where I'm like, okay, I need to be a little bit more obedient. But yeah, don't be lukewarm. Don't be on both sides of the fence, you guys. Okay. That was a lot, you guys. I don't have all the answers to this. I don't. But ask God to help you put him first. Ask God to help you stop being deceived. Ask God to help you release your pride and to show you the areas of your life where you're focusing too much on the natural, the worldly, the material, and where you need to bring your attention back to God. And the ironic part, the irony of it all, and this is not the reason why we do it, but when we are in the kingdom is when either A, we don't care about those things anymore. So we're just so satisfied, peaceful, content, full of pleasure. It says, I don't remember what the reference is here, but it's there's scripture that says, you reveal the path of life to me. In your presence is abundant joy. At your right hand are eternal pleasures. That is what is available in the kingdom. That is not available in the world. So remember that.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.
If you're seeking that genuine peace, fulfillment, pleasure, it's in the kingdom. It's not in the world. So let it go. Let go of them. And listen, I'm trying to, you know what? I'm trying to like reinvent myself as an influencer. I'm having worldly desires pop up, you know? But like, can I change the term from influencer to messenger of God? Or, you know, I went to a Bible study the other day, and they talked about and we talked about this a little bit too in the God's Will episode, which you should listen to if you haven't listened to it. But there we talked about the five roles of the church. So there are, hold on, I don't know what they call it. Is it five roles? Okay, so these are the five ministry gifts: apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. And they all are a little bit different. I'm gonna actually just read through these again. Okay, so these are the notes I took in Bible study, like a good little girl. So number one is the apostle. So that means the one sent forth as a messenger or ambassador or leader. So can I be like an apostle, not an influencer? And then there's prophets, so one who speaks for God. I mean, yeah, I mean, I think I do that. I also have so many prophetic dreams, you guys. It is wild, and I try to tell you guys about them. An evangelist, which is preaching the good news, the kingdom come. I mean, I talk about that all the time. And then a pastor, which is really actually means like a shepherd. So you mean you're kind of like feeding and protecting the flock in this kind of fatherly way. I mean, do I do that? Am I fatherly? I don't know. And then there's the teacher, which is with others and to instruct them. So I mean, I kind of do that too. So here's the thing. It's like, can we just make like that's what I want to be. Like, I want to do that. But it's like under the channel of, it's with the channel of Instagram. So it needs to be visual. And I'm going to do an episode on authority. I actually had another conversation with God about my gifts. And he said the words, my gifts are dominion and demonstration. So dominion is like the authority that God gave humans to rule over the earth. And then demonstration is walking in that authority and that obedience and showing other people how to do it. So I want to be this visual testimony anyway, or like, I don't know. Sorry, guys. I'm really just wanting you to help me figure out how to be an influencer without being too worldly. It's really hard. But it's like, I got to get people's attention somehow. Anyways, that's my problem, not yours. All right, you guys, this was a lot. I really ad-libbed a lot more. This is going to be really short. Oh, I want to read one more thing, actually, a piece of scripture. Matthew 23:12. And whoever shall exalt himself shall be humbled, and whoever shall humble himself shall be exalted. I mean, that's confronting. There's a little bit of context, I think, that I want to share with that. So the context of Matthew 23:12 is Jesus is talking to his disciples and telling them that the greatest among them would be servants to the others, and that that is the way of the kingdom. So it's about helping each other and lifting each other up, essentially. And it's about like, he wants you to help people who can do nothing for you, like we talked about. And so if you're helping people who can do nothing for you, then you're humbling yourself. You're not thinking, oh, I'm too good for this person, I'm not gonna hang out with them or help them, you know, they can't do anything for me. You're humbling yourself and supporting them. If you're exalting yourself and you're saying, you know, oh, I'm only going to spend time or hang out with this type of person or whatever, then you'll be humbled pretty quickly. Actually, I think there was a parable. So there is a parable. I'm pretty sure this is the same context. So he talks about this guy who has a party. I'm butchering this. And he invites these kind of people that are on his level. But all these people that are on his level are like, oh, well, I think he invites his servants. Okay, wait, I need to actually find it. I'm going to butcher this. Okay, so no, this is in Luke. So Luke 4:16-20 says, yes, for there once was a man who threw a great dinner party and invited many. When it was time for dinner, he sent out his servants to the invited guest list, saying, come on in, the food's on the table. Then they all began to beg off one after another, making excuses. The first said, I bought a piece of property and need to look, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, they all send their regrets and they don't come. But then what happens is he ends up inviting all of these other people who are just, you know, from the outskirts and not necessarily like the people he would usually invite. And these people come in and they're grateful and everything is good and amazing. And so I think that's the point. And then it kind of says something like, if you invite people, if you're like inviting people because you want something from them, and then you're eventually going to have to repay them. Like if this is some kind of exchange all the time, then it's like you want them to do something for you and then you got to do something for them. And it's like exhausting. But if you, and then you end up becoming humbled, you know, maybe you can't do enough for them or they can't do enough for you. And it ends up being humbling. But if you're willing to help people that can do nothing for you, everyone's lifting up and you're doing what God wants you to do. So anyways, I'm figuring this out at the same, like a real time, you guys. I don't know how accurate and biblically accurate that is, but it just reminded me of that. Anyways, this is really, hey, thank you for listening to me ramble. I hope you've loved this. And if you're watching the video, this hair, you guys. Not wearing a bra. I am wearing makeup, but I'm looking real greasy. Thank you for being a part of it. And I love you guys. And this is the journey. So thank you for being here with me on my imperfect, messy journey of trying to put God before everything else when we've been really programmed to put ourselves first. Join me on this journey, you guys. All right, DM me. Let me know how you're doing. Let me know if this was helpful. If you want to share this podcast, that would be great. Let a friend know. Invite them to listen. I told you guys I've kind of like disappeared from Instagram for the time being. So if you want to share this. Let people know what you're listening to. Just take a little screenshot of the podcast app or the Spotify, wherever you're listening. Post it in your stories. Send people my way. You know, I love that and I appreciate that. And, you know, spread God's word, you guide. You guys, you guide. Anyways, I'm tired. Gotta go. Love you. Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.